meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah.
Already did that part. Phone number, right? Loveline?
You're in.
All right, we're good. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. I got a friend named Scotty Kramer, so I'm going to call you that. Maybe the over-under is like
twice.
Four. I think four.
I already called him Bob three times.
Robert Crane was in here last week. And before we get into everything, let me just make sure everyone's on the same page. And
it's
Drew,
a hard page to get into.
You fill in any mortar between my bricks here if I miss something. Robert Crane was in here last week. He's the son of ex-sitcom star Bob Crane, who was killed. And Bob Crane is the subject of this new movie, which is out. Who's being portrayed by Greg Kinnear, and it's called Autofocus.
Let's identify him more. He was Hogan on Hogan's Hero.
Hogan on Hogan's Hero. Now, Scotty Crane is Bob Crane's second son from a second marriage, and considerably younger than Robert Crane.
Right.
Yes. Now, you, when your dad was murdered, you were 7 years old.
Correct.
And now, whereas Robert worked as a consultant on Autofocus, you wanted nothing to do with that.
No, that's not true. I'm Robert Crane as well. There's three Roberts. There's Robert Edward Crane, which is Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes. And then there's me, who's Robert Scott Crane.
I see.
But I've always gone by Scotty. I never wanted to be known as Bob Crane's son.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to use that, like, hey, I'm Bob Crane Jr.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then there's Robert David Crane, who was in here last week, who sometimes goes by Bob Crane Jr.
Right.
I tried to contact the producers of the film Autofocus back in October of 2000,
mm-hmm.
about 2 years before they started shooting.
Right.
And they refused to return any of my phone calls. They refused to contact me in any way whatsoever. And at that point, I kind of did my own. I realized what was in the script.
No, and why do you think they refused to contact you? Because they knew you would object to what was in the script?
They had a script that was already written by a guy named Michael Grabosi, and that script was filled with defamation of my father and my family and my mother, who's still living, by the way.
Well, I saw her on 2020.
Sure.
Just a couple of weeks ago. Thank God I sit home every Friday night and wait for the Grim Reaper. I actually like to watch Barbara Walters waiting for the Grim Reaper.
Well,
I wait for the Grim Reaper.
That's good.
Yeah. So, or she calls it 2020.
But so the producers would have, they would have no dealings with me whatsoever. They refused to return any of my phone calls.
Right.
And I knew that there was defamation in the script. And so what I did was I decided, well, you know, I could write a book about how this movie's untrue. Or I could do a bunch of talk shows about this, how this movie's untrue.
Well, why?
Or
why,
I could launch a website and go on Howard Stern and launch this website that basically proves that this movie's untrue.
Well, what is the defamation? I mean, your mother, who was interviewed on 2020, said she knew that your dad had the lifestyle and led the lifestyle that he did. She was fine with it. She was in love with him. And she seemed, I mean, the movie depicts your father's lifestyle, but what's the part in it that's defamation?
Well, there's defamation of three different people here. There's defamation of myself, there's defamation of my father, who's no longer with us, and then there's defamation of my mother.
Okay, why you? What did they do with you? I haven't seen the film.
Good. Not a lot of people have, actually. It's Autofocus has been out for 2 weeks now, and it's, from what I understand, it's grossed about $300,000.
Jackass made more in the first 15 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. So,
however you feel about Autofocus, that can't feel good that Jackass made more money in 3 minutes.
I know.
No matter what you feel about Autofocus.
Okay. But the point is you were just a young child.
Swept away made more in the first 15 minutes.
When your father passed away. So, what did they say about you?
Well, you know, they suggest that I'm not Bob Crane's son, which your interviewee last week did the same thing over and over and over again.
I know.
He kept on suggesting that I'm not Bob Crane's son, and the movie does that as well.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Okay, well, see,
which implies that my mother fooled my father into marriage through this fake pregnancy. That's what they suggest.
I know. But it's ridiculous because they were together for many years.
They were together for the last 12 years of his life, yeah.
And you look uncannily like Bob Crane, or the real Bob Crane, as I explained to Bob Crane Jr. on the show.
Robert David Crane.
And you know, when Drew said to him, why don't you just do a DNA test and
yeah, what did he say? What did he say about that anyway?
Basically said, I've suggested it and he suggested it.
No, both
would do it.
What happened was, the New York Post would call me up and say, hey, we just got off the phone with Bob Crane Jr. and he says that you're not Bob Crane's son. What do you say to that, Scotty? And I go, well, first of all, there is no Bob Crane Jr. And second of all, tell him I'll take a DNA test with him. And they would call him back and I guess ask him if he wanted to take a DNA test with me. And he'd say, oh, I have nothing to prove.
Right.
And they'd be like, well, yeah, you got to prove that what you're saying is true. And he's like, yeah, well, I don't want to get involved with that. Yeah. I'll tell you, he looks more like Billy Joel today than Bob Crane. I mean.
All right. Let's not. Well, no. Billy Joel's. I hope Billy Joel's not listening. It would actually be the biggest slam in the face.
No, it's just a ridiculous thing for them to insinuate that I'm not Bob Crane's son.
I was fine with Robert Crane, and I don't want to get two sides here.
No, sure.
But I can say this, just in general, and Drew and I speak about this kind of stuff all the time. There's a test that can conclusively answer your question. If one party doesn't want to take it, then that's the guilty party. End of discussion. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's where your answer is. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been willing to take a DNA test with this guy for 3 years now.
And then the second he said he wasn't interested in it,
he didn't
Drew,
say he wasn't interested.
He didn't want to know the answer. If he wanted to know the answer, he would have pursued it.
Well, he told the New York Times and the New York Post that he wasn't interested in taking that test.
Right. But here's the question. That's the dirt on him, but the dirt on you is that you have a website with your father's hijinks posted on it, yes?
10% of that website is a members section, yeah. 10% of that website has a members section, which for $4 you can join, and you can see some images that basically prove that the women my father was with were knowing, knowledgeable, consenting adults, that there was nothing illegal going on.
Did the movie claim that?
Yeah, the movie claims that my father photographed women without their knowledge and consent in sexual acts. But totally untrue.
Like I said, I didn't see the movie. I saw the commercials. They had all the equipment and everything seemed to be out in plain view.
Well, it was at the time, and there was no way to hide it. But the movie does suggest, it doesn't even suggest, it outright says that Bob Crane, my father from Hogan's Heroes, filmed women without their knowledge and consent in sexual acts. And there's a big difference between a guy in the 50s and 60s enjoying celebrity, having a lot of sex partners, and a guy secretly taping women having sex. There's a huge difference between the two. One's a creep, one's a guy having a party.
Right, and your dad was the guy who had the party?
The guy's having a party.
Yeah, my dad was the guy who bought electronics only from the Radio Shack and then sat home and read books while I played.
Except for what he bought from Sears. He bought some stuff from Sears.
Yeah, idiot. All right, so at least your dad bought equipment. At least he got that going.
Well, he was actually fascinated by the equipment. A lot of times when you were looking at these videos of his, he's more interested in watching what's going on the screen. You had to have a monitor in the room to see yourself see what you were filming those days. There was no viewfinder. You had to have a big TV in the room to watch you were filming. And so you see him having sex on the couch, and he's often like, let's move over a little bit. We're not quite in frame. Staring at himself on TV.
But that doesn't weird you out, seeing your father having sex?
You know, I've been seeing it since I was a little kid. For me, it's like looking at baseball cards.
Really?
Seriously, yeah, it's not a big deal.
And what kind of impact do you think that's had on you psychologically? Forget, don't answer. Drew, what kind of impact has it had on him?
You must have had some treatment or something along the way here.
Well, both my father and I did go to a psychiatrist shortly before he was murdered, actually.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, he was trying to turn his life around. He realized that he was a sex addict, and he was something that Robert David refuses to admit. But my father realized he was a sex addict, and he had to, showing me the images that he did, he realized was a wrong thing to do, and he started to turn that around, and we were both going to a psychiatrist, and that's kind of the sad thing. This movie really misses out on this bigger Greek tragedy of you've got the alcoholic who suddenly decides that I'm going to stop drinking, and then he's hit by a drunk driver and killed.
Mm-hmm. And although he'd have to be run over by a giant penis to really make it work.
You know, the other thing this movie suggests...
Who do you think killed him?
I think John Carpenter, the man who was suggested...
The guy they accused?
Yeah, the guy they accused. He got off lack of evidence. But there's any road with evidence that you go down whatsoever leads to John Henry Carpenter. He was acquitted in 92, I think.
And he was just, his motive was sort of disgruntled buddy who wanted the lifestyle to go on and didn't want it to end.
John Carpenter was a child molester. He was he pled guilty to child molestation, or no contest to child molestation. He was a very dark, seedy character, and I believe anybody who's capable of child molestation is probably also capable of murder.
Well, that's not true. Don't say that, because I'll have a million calls on that.
We will?
Oh, yeah.
No, we weren't.
However,
I'll agree with that.
But anybody...
I think that's true.
Thanks.
But people... No, it's not true. Statistically,
how
not
do
true.
You know?
It just, not, just doesn't happen
they're
that
so
way.
Busy diddling
because he's never
young boys,
murder.
They never get around to it.
Doesn't happen. But it somebody who you're saying if he was bisexual or
he's maybe, bisexual
maybe
he's,
your dad had some tendencies with other, you know, a sex addict with all kinds of things
maybe
this guy fell in love with your dad and your dad
that's what they suggest
it. All right, well that sort of fits,
but I think also my father knew everything that this John Carpenter character was up to, and I think this John Carpenter character was into young women. And I think if my father decided, you know what, I'm going to go to a psychiatrist, I'm going to stop hanging around with you, John, you're a creep. And John had some sort of affinity or love for my father, and John was like, you can't do that, I'll tell the world what, you know, that you're making these videos of you screwing women. Oh. And my dad was like, well, you know what, I'll tell the world that you're making videos of you screwing nine-year-olds or something.
So think how, by the way, how sloppy, in general, a murder that whole thing was.
Oh, it was, totally sloppy.
I mean, it was... Not the perfect crime, and yet...
They couldn't pin it on anybody.
Couldn't pin it on anybody. It seems like in this day and age, it would be very easily solved, ironically, yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
DNA
they found blood.
Fibers and
they
things,
found my dad's brain tissue and blood in John Carpenter's rental car. John Carpenter's rental car had blood and fingerprints all over the passenger side, and no fingerprints whatsoever on the driver's side. The driver's side was completely wiped down. Mm. That's just guilt. And, you know, what did he do? He fled Arizona, where my father was killed, and he went to California, where he lived. He had a house and apartment in California, John Carpenter did. Mm-hmm. What did he do? He went and hid out for 3 days at Richard Dawson's house. He didn't return to his home. He hid out for 3 days.
Right.
I think that's a weird thing.
Yeah, I know. There's all this...
Anyway, so I think he did it.
All right. I'm with you on that. He's dead now anyway,
but
right?
The movie has defamation of my mother in that they suggest that she was violent, thereby suggesting she could have been the one to murder him.
Really?
Yeah, sure. They have a scene where my mother's
but
being violent.
Is that
violent
the math you're doing, or did they suggest that she really could have been the murderer?
I think when they suggest that my mother was drinking vodka at 10 in the morning and throwing things at my father like ashtrays and that she was a violent woman who was an alcoholic, I number one, it's untrue. She wasn't a violent woman, and number two, she wasn't drinking vodka at 10 in the morning. She never drank hard liquor at all. She has an allergic reaction to it. But
is she an alcoholic, though?
No.
No.
Not at all. She doesn't even drink. Mm. Actually, I mean, she's 67 years old.
Well, and also, to be fair to the people who made the movie, it's unfortunately using your father as sort of a vehicle for a movie, which isn't really fair to your father. Or perhaps you.
No, you know what? My father's story is a fascinating story, actually. Talking about this movie might not be a fascinating story, but my father's story is actually amazing. It's totally fascinating. And I think if you want to do a true life story, a true life account of my father's life, you're going to have a really interesting movie.
Right.
But I think to fictionalize someone's life who is a true-to-life person is a really sloppy, lazy thing to do.
Right. Jenny?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
All right. So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have sex with my boyfriend, like, it's not that good. And I've had sex with other guys, and it's good. And he's not really experienced, and I am. But I want to know what it is that, like, makes it good. Like, what triggers to make it good, and what can I do to make it better without telling him, like, sorry, you suck?
Oh, yeah. What about oral sex? Does he do that?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't. He could do better, but...
Right.
But it's not that... I mean, he's good with his hands.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do? Build you like a hummingbird feeder or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it now.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I want to have better sex with him. I just don't want to say, like, dude, you suck.
Well, there's no other way to do it.
Yeah, wouldn't
no,
say,
I know, but but even if I said that, there's like nothing else he knows how to do. Like,
yeah,
I can
Jenny, how about just directing him a little bit?
I
piece
do,
by
though.
Just piece it's by like, piece.
I don't know if it's the movement. I don't know what it is. It's just not good.
All right, then break up with him.
Or maybe
pain
something
in the ass.
No.
Yes.
All right, good plan.
No, I said you're a pain in the ass.
I'm not.
I think you are.
I pretend like it's good.
I know, but all that does is make you angry.
All right.
Right. Well, that doesn't help. What is with you, Jenny? Something's up.
No, nothing's up. I just want to have good sex.
Well, I understand that, but you don't like this guy.
No, I do like him. I like him a lot.
What do you like about him?
I like his personality.
Right. But you don't like him. I mean, you don't feel like you can be honest with him. You fake an orgasm.
No, like, I feel like I'm going to, like, hurt his feelings. Like, it's a sensitive subject to him, obviously. Like, to him it is.
Yeah.
Like, I could care less if he's, like, told me what to do, but he's, like, sensitive about it.
Well, how do you know that? Have you tried telling him something?
Yeah.
And what is he?
Oral sex, I tried. He, like, got upset.
What did he do? I mean, when did you tell him? Were you involved with
him,
it? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, can you do this? And he's like, no, I can't. And I was like, just try. He's like, no.
Sounds like a great boyfriend.
Well, maybe he's the idiot.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe he's the pain in the ass.
I don't know. This ain't love, Jenny.
I know it's not love.
You're 17.
I know.
Okay. You're not that into the guy. Why don't you just cut him loose?
He's not.
I really am, though.
Yeah, but you're not. He's not who you want him to be.
I just wanted to get some dick.
I don't even care.
Well, no.
Look, if you want something, here's what happens. Here's what women do. Women will not tell... First off, women have no problem telling you what they want about everything. Everything. Every facet of life.
Except
for sex. So they don't say what they want. Instead, they get angry because it goes on. They're not getting their needs met. They're angry that they're not able to tell you what they want. And as the months wear on, they start seething about the whole thing, and they resent you.
Well, it's discussing one's tenderest needs, quite literally. And people have real difficulty asking for genuine needs to be met. They sort of expect it, or they have to go through sort of defensive measures to get them met. Now, she was able to ask, and then he blew her off. So really,
right.
It's not about her. It's about this guy being an a-hole and she having to be with an a-hole. No, I like the asshole. I've got to be with him.
Yeah, I don't know if the guy's an a-hole or he's just oversensitive and she's overwhelming. He's intimidated. She's been with a bunch of people. He hasn't been with anybody. Jenny?
Yeah.
Has he been with anybody?
Yeah.
How many?
A lot?
He's an a-hole.
Yeah, if he's not going downtown, he's an a-hole.
He's going downtown, but he's not listening, not paying attention.
Oh, I thought he wasn't going downtown at all.
No, he is. He's just not doing a good job.
He's been with a lot of women, though.
No, none. I'm like the first girl he's been with. That's the thing.
Okay, didn't...
Yes,
okay, now
did.
We're back to me being right.
Yes, right.
Okay, you've been with other people.
Yeah.
How many, just so we can...
More than 5, less than 10.
All right.
7.
9.
Yeah,
no. Okay, listen, I'm hanging up on you. I don't care. And listen, everybody, here's the deal. When I ask you for a number, or Drew asked you, or anybody on the show asked you for anything, I don't want the more than and less than. I don't want any of that. I just want the number. I will hang up on your ass so fast I'll sprain my finger diving on that button. Okay, he's sensitive.
Okay.
He hasn't been with anybody.
Yeah.
She's been with a bunch of people, and he's freaked out. Drew. Stop. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Just
interrupting you.
Okay. It's on the...
He hasn't been with anybody. She has. He's extra sensitive. She's
right.
Kind of overwhelming.
Right.
Even though I just get the hint that...
Listen, she's a pain in the ass. It's
all right.
Jenny.
All right.
Okay. Terry?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
All I have to say is the girl that was just on, has she ever thought that maybe it's her?
Yes. Yes, I just crawled inside her brain, yes.
Okay. Well, I just found out my girlfriend's, like, lesbo, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Could she be, like, bisexual, too, since she's going out with me, or what's up with that?
Hmm.
Is she having sex with you?
I need to translate. No. I need a translator.
She's not having sex with you?
No, she's a virgin.
So, she's not having sex with you, but she's sexually interested in you, or you guys make out, or what do you do?
Well, we've came pretty close to doing it.
And, to make it out.
And she's having sex with women in the meantime.
I don't know about that.
Okay, you don't seem to know anything, Terry.
Barely.
All right.
Well, there we go.
All right. Please. All right, let's get this show going. Carl?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
I called about a month ago, and I was the guy who had the crying girlfriend when we had sex.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys told me to, like, see if I can get her into therapy.
Right.
And the second that I brought up the therapy, she broke up with me.
Well, that says a ton about what was going on there.
Yeah, but, like, I really love this girl, and I really want her back.
Carl.
Sorry, buddy. So we're the cause of the breakup, right?
Yeah.
All right.
We've been saved you from more than you'll ever know, I suppose.
No, at 18. I love this girl.
Yeah. Well, you love her more now that she dumped you. But why'd she break up with you? And by the way, Carl, if she was into you, she would not break up. Let me just dispel a myth, guys.
Yeah.
Chicks that are into you don't break up with you over the nonsense reasons you tell us they broke up with you
they
for.
They don't break up when you go cheat and
beat them up. No, cheat and choke them. They won't break up with you. You understand? She's not that into you. Oh, she's in love with you, Carl, except for you suggested therapy, and so she had to break up with you.
You cared about her. You consulted with someone. You came back with an idea to help her. You noticed that she was upset about something. How dare you? How dare you care about
me? Why is that? Why did she break up with you because of the therapy?
She just got, like, really pissed at me.
That's a defense. Then
she ain't into you.
Yeah, but also you're pointing out that there's something really disturbing there, and you're seeing it and exposing her to it.
Why was she crying? Did we find that out?
No, we said that it would really seem to be like she was abused or something. I remember him giving a sort of bunch of evidence that suggests something more serious was going on.
Do you think she was abused, Carl?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you were giving her some helpful, you were caring about this human being.
So what do you need? What do you need her for? She's crazy.
This would have been a handful, and you would have been up against this someday soon.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what's up? What's going on in your life? You going to school? You working?
Yeah, I'm at school right now.
All right. Well, it's tough. You broke up. You got dumped. It's rough. You don't land on your feet, buddy. When's the last time you spoke to her?
Yesterday.
Ma'am, what'd she say?
She's just like, stop calling me.
I don't mean to laugh, but listen, I've had this happen a million times. It's fine. You'll be better off without her.
All right.
And you got to stop calling her, too.
Okay.
And if you do want her to call you, the only way to do it is for you not to call her.
Yeah, right.
That's your only
call. All right, Carl?
All right.
All right. Seems to take his medicine okay. Now.
He's the bogus quality to this, too.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't believe the call?
Yeah.
It's all right. We answered it properly, so.
Well, also, our callers have so much difficulty with the translation of feelings and even words that I'm sure if you spoke to her, it wasn't he suggested I go to therapy and I broke up with him. But be that as it may, it's time to move on. Scotty Kramer. There he goes.
There you go.
I knew it.
His name came out.
I knew it would come
out. He's calling me Bob. He's calling me Scotty Kramer.
Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. He is the son of Bob Crane. He's on here to sort of rebut some of the things that have come up in the movie Autofocus and to give his website a plug. And we gave Autofocus enough plugs when other Robert Crane, Bob Crane, was in here. So we'll give your website a plug. It is bobcrane.com. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. His father is the late sitcom actor, Bob Crane, who was killed in Arizona in
78.
And is the focus of the movie Autofocus. And you can find out more information and actually see naked footage, and I'm guessing, how good is this footage?
It's like this equipment was like Plan 9 from outer space technology. It's
probably best.
the footage is like pixel vision a bit, you know what I'm talking about. It's pretty blurry, but there's actually a lot of still shots on there. On the rest of the site, 90% of bobcrane.com, you can listen to Bob Crane drumming, telling jokes, family pictures, celebrity pictures. You can view his autopsy report. The whole site was designed and put up to disprove all the myths in this movie, basically. But just quick aside note here. Dr. Drew was actually a guest on my radio show up in Seattle about a year ago, and we were talking about It's a funny thing, because I don't think you knew what you were really involved with.
No,
I called you...
I guarantee you I didn't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know right now.
Well, what you're involved in... I called you about Viagra and the dangers of taking Viagra if you don't need to be taking Viagra.
Right.
Like, just taking it recreationally.
Right.
And you told me everything that was wrong with it. But the deal was, it's kind of a morning radio show we were doing, and we had a stripper in there, and I was taking Viagra.
At the time.
At the Viagra, and the stripper was there to see if, while on Viagra, I could not achieve an erection. Like, I can avoid an erection.
I don't know.
And in the middle of it...
Were you able to do that?
I was able to do it. But you know what it caused? Every side effect of Viagra. The
blue vision, all
the
stuff.
Oh, the blurry vision, the nausea, the runny nose, the headaches, massive headaches.
Just not having an erection with a stripper present could cause all that.
It was actually very funny. In the middle of it is Dr. Drew's voice, like, telling me about all the side effects of it, which every one of them I was suffering at the moment. Like, 3-hour radio show.
Were you
doing that on Viagra? Was it the worst idea?
You took the Viagra and then attempted not to have the erection mind control?
Right, exactly. Through mind control. While the stripper's like giving me a lap dance, I was trying not to have an erection.
On Viagra?
On Viagra.
Hmm.
Eventually I failed. I absolutely failed.
Okay, all right.
And then we had a ring toss at the end of it.
True. You got to get a new agent. I'll tell you what. Megan?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I have this friend, I guess, and he lives in Arizona. But he used to live here where I live, and he comes up every now and then, like every 5 months. I dated him for about a year and a half, which is a long time for me, and he comes up sometimes, you know.
Turn your radio down, or Adam's going to blow a fuse here.
Okay.
No, I'm done. I'm done caring.
Really? Oh, no.
You don't
care
anymore.
If that were loud enough, or if a smoke alarm...
No, I could hear it, and it was screwing her cadence up.
Okay, I guess
it's still on.
Okay.
Oh, is it still on?
No.
No, it's not.
Hold on. Hold the phone out.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
I'm done caring.
That's Anderson. That's
I
Anderson.
Know.
All right, so go ahead, Megan.
Okay.
So he comes up once in a while. You date him for a year and a half.
Yeah. And, well, the reason why we broke up pretty much was over a bunch of his friends. And I'm wondering.
Is that supposed to make sense to us?
I'm done caring.
The reason I broke up is over a bunch of his friends.
Yeah,
she didn't like his friends.
His friends started like not liking me just because he was spending all his time with me.
Right.
So then, you know, he chooses his friends over.
Now I need another translation.
Okay.
The reason I broke up with him is he broke up with me, and when I asked why, he said, I chose my friends over you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's a load of BS. So go ahead.
Okay.
He just lost interest or he met somebody else.
Well, but the thing is that when he comes up, he sleeps with me.
Right. Yeah. He likes sex.
I've never had... Well, I've had sex with other people, but I've never had as good a sex with him.
Because he mistreats you.
That's one of the unfortunate things about these kinds of relationships. The sex can be good. I'm sure it's good for him, too. But he could not care less about you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the best sex, though.
Yeah. But for men, for women, they delude themselves into believing that there's all this caring but otherwise it wouldn't be so good.
Sex is good for her because she's in love with the guy, and the sex is good for him because he's good at it.
And because he doesn't care about her,
so he can
do whatever he wants.
And she needs somebody who doesn't care, and there's the connection.
Okay, I was thinking that maybe it was because he had too much pride. He wants.
Megan, whoa, stop.
What? He had too much pride, to get back with you?
Yeah.
No, Megan.
Guys have zero pride.
Not in a million years. Guys like sex if it's good. You've got to stay very basic when you think about men. If they're having sex, it's because they like the sex. Period. End of story. That's it. Unless they tell you this is a relationship and I'm having other feelings also. It may be included as a second phenomenon.
No more sex for him.
Okay.
I think guys will have sex even if they don't like the sex.
Really?
Yeah. But they're still liking it in their own way.
Right.
And Megan, it's not fair to you because it puts you on hold. It keeps you tied up in this relationship that's not a relationship.
Yeah.
All right. And listen, nobody. You got to look at it this way: when you're breaking up with somebody, unless you get popped for something like cheating with their sister or doing something egregious, the reason they give you for breaking up with you is never the reason breaking up with you.
No.
It's like as if cops believed criminals. Well, he said he had nothing to do with the murder. Now I'm confused.
Yeah, because better let him go, I guess, he says.
I guess that's what he says. Yeah, don't listen to anything they say. Just focus on the part where they went out.
And you guys
should all use my line, which is, I haven't dusted it off in a while.
It's a good one.
It's It's not you. It's me. I don't like you. Huh? That's crystal clear. It kind of puts the onus on you, but it also doesn't leave any window open for interpretation there, right?
Yeah.
All right. If people were just gutsy enough to use that line, they could break it off free and clear. David?
Hello.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Adam, you're awesome.
Great.
And I just want to say I don't claim to be smart, but I'm not dumb enough to be one of those smoke alarm callers.
Whatever.
You're on the cusp, though, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
He's not. He doesn't have enough pulse, though, to be one of our callers.
All right, David, let's go, buddy.
Okay. I wanted to ask Scotty about his show, Shaken Not Stirred.
Yes.
Johnny, Seattle, if you're still doing that.
Shaken Not Stirred is still in Seattle and Portland and Bakersfield, and I think it's in Wichita. It's in a few cities, yeah.
Yeah, but the last few shows, I mean, that I'm in, because I'm calling from Seattle.
Oh, good. You're listening on The Buzz, our affiliate. Loveline's on The Buzz, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Now they play it on The End.
It's on The End now.
It's on The End now.
It's on The End.
Sister station. Intercom.
Sister station.
Sure.
All right, dear. What's up? So,
and I wanted to, because the last few episodes have been like reruns, and I wanted to know if you were making new episodes.
You know what? You keep on listening. The problem is, I'm doing a lot of business right now related with this autofocus movie, so it's kind of hard to get that radio show up and going. So,
all right.
But thanks for calling.
Oh yeah, 17 years old. I gotta find out how much weed this guy smokes,
no,
David.
No.
Well, I used to.
Yeah. If you're listening to Shaken Not Stirred, you're smoking a lot of weed, I can guarantee. Anybody who likes my show is heavily...
This is awesome.
All right, easy with the weed, though, David. All right, well, said he used to. I like, by the way, when the guy's 16, 17 years old, and he's like, that's all in the past. It's like, well, when what? When you're crapping on yourself?
That's how it was for me, man. By the time I was 18, I was sober.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I self-medicated myself.
I was going to say, you must have been trying to deal with the parent thing.
From 9 till 16, I smoked more weed than Cheech and Chong and every one of the movies put together. Hmm. But, yeah. But by the time I was 18, I was like, you know what? That's a loser road to go down.
Maybe in a way, and I know the brain's still developing and everything, it's not a great time to apply all the drugs to
it. I stunted my growth.
I've had a lot of... You think so?
Oh, yeah. My dad was 6 feet. My grandpa was 6 feet. I'm not 6 feet. I stunted my growth.
But he means emotional growth. That's what he was hearing, right?
Well, no. What I'm saying is...
I meant height.
Well, I'm saying drugs when you're 14 is not a good idea anyway. You slice it. But... I have a lot of friends who started in with the drugs 15, 16, thought they didn't have a problem. Now they're well into their 20s, 28, 29. Life ain't going too good. And somewhere at 30, they decide maybe it's time to sober up a little bit. But that's pretty much the years you're supposed to be going to college,
right,
getting your career off the ground, everything. Maybe best just to have the wheels come off the wagon at 16. And dry up at 18 and start leading your life from that point on.
It's sort of from on paper, you know, if you were mapping it out, it sounds good. But the reality...
Thank you.
The reality
thank
is...
That, no, thank
that,
you.
That the effects are so profound at those critical developmental stages that it has resonance throughout life.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, you know, there was, like, kids in, like, 7th grade who were like, hey, why are you smoking pot? You're a loser. And it's like... You know, I see them now, and they're 30 years old, and I'm like, hey, what are you up to? And he's like, oh, I just scored a half gram. And I'm like, yeah, I'm running a radio show. See you later.
Scotty got going early and then got it out of his
system.
That's
the thing. Get it out. You know, because when you're in 20s, you should be figuring out who you are.
That's right.
Instead of smoking pot.
I say you should start when you're 5 and get it over with by 8.
I'm with you. I am with you.
I wish it worked that way. It doesn't. Those
How about your mom stuffing some pot brownies up the coos? When the kid is in vitro, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
even have your brownies then.
Well, I guess she could just eat the stuff.
Douche or something,
yeah, you're right. Hey,
THC douche. Yeah. That's a good one.
You're at 27.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Good.
Want to tell you, I appreciate you guys' show, man. I've been listening for on and off for quite some time. I appreciate you guys. You guys got a lot of insight.
Thanks.
Where are you, Ben?
I'm in Arizona.
Right. Where?
I'm in Mesa.
Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah, it's about
a beautiful country. Beautiful.
Outside Tucson?
If you like...
No, it's right outside of Phoenix.
Phoenix.
If you like it about 130, 135, beautiful. Yeah. That's just the way I like it. When I go into my house at night, I set the thermostat to 130. That's the way I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
Here my whole life.
Ben, Adam and I hate the heat.
Yeah,
it's awful.
It would kill us.
I mean, 89 degrees is one thing, but that 100, 110...
It's sick.
It's sick.
Yeah, it's I work in about 60-degree air conditioning all year round.
Good. Good.
That's not a way to live.
No.
That's like working at 7-Eleven or something.
Yeah, it is a crazy, like, fake environment. But anyway, look, Ben.
Yeah.
We disagree with your decision to live in Arizona, but let's continue with the call.
Okay. All right.
Go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm 27 years old. I don't know if...
We're going here.
Keep going.
Okay. I was married at age 19. I was engaged when at 19, so I got married real young. Anyways, met a girl, basically my first love anyway. Divorced her.
Why?
4 years later.
Why?
I'll be honest with you. I was a punk ass, and I was a... I kind of took advantage of the situation when we first married. I didn't,
He didn't, he was 19.
Right.
He was young.
Right.
He didn't know what he was doing.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It just means that I just didn't understand what I had.
I understand that. What did you do?
Oh, I was just kind of, I was just...
Ben, what did you do? Exactly what did you do?
Oh, I was belligerent, and before we got married, I had, like an affair type deal. It was just like a one-shot deal.
Before you were married?
Yeah.
So what made you get divorced 4 years later?
Well, because I told her about it. She never forgave me after we were married.
And what was the belligerent?
She may have forgiven you if you act like a human being during the marriage.
Right.
Excuse me?
What was the belligerent part? What does that mean?
Oh, I was just, I was full of pride, and I wasn't humble enough to realize that I was.
Hold on. Let's stop trying to get specifics out of him, because what does belligerent mean is answered with, I was full of pride, and what's full of pride, that's why I wasn't humble. The specifics of his actions aren't
coming.
Yes, he paints.
Well, what that means, people are like, they're in denial or defensive. That's why people don't tell you. They're ashamed of it or something.
Right. All right, Ben, what's your question? We're done trying to talk to you.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
What it was is I was a jerk. That's what I'm
saying. Right, okay.
You were belligerent, therefore you were a jerk.
That's correct.
That doesn't tell us.
Drew's looking for an action.
I got, when problems would happen, I would get real reclusive, and I would shut her off.
All right. So you just
ignored her.
Okay, but no beatings, no abuse, nothing like that.
You didn't cheat further. You didn't use drugs and alcohol and stuff.
Excuse me?
You weren't doing drugs or alcohol.
No, matter of fact, it's funny. You guys were just talking. I started doing drugs when I was like in second grade.
See, smart.
Yeah, right.
Fine example. By the time it's in the fifth grade.
Stop when you were what?
Excuse me.
Stop when?
I was 18. Right when I met her. Matter of fact.
All right.
What drug were you doing?
Well, I was doing
weed. A lot of speed.
Out just smoking pot, drinking. But I started doing, like, crank and coke.
Yeah, see? That's not good.
I can't imagine an H-roll doing
that. 20 years.
Listen, that's the same thing we were doing with, you know, we're doing a lot of pixie sticks and stuff like that.
What did you end up doing what to her, you say?
Excuse me?
Ended up what for her?
Okay. I said my mom did, like, heroin for, like, 20 years.
All right. Got a problem.
Okay.
All right, Drew, stop talking to Ben.
All right.
We've been talking to this guy for 5 minutes. We've got nothing.
What I can tell you is...
Yeah.
The reason this relationship broke apart is nothing like what Ben is telling us.
Oh, who cares?
I'm just telling you. If we had to talk to his ex-wife, there'd be a ton of other stuff.
Yeah. No. I'm telling you, I was a jerk, and I was abusive. I was belligerent.
Did you say abusive now?
Yes, now we're getting abusive.
Okay,
see what I'm saying?
I'm going to get abusive. What do you mean abusive? What kind of abuse?
I just yelled and screamed a lot. It's
all right. Abuse. Well, a second ago, you were just withdrawn.
Yeah, second, you were just reclusive. You just shut her out as reclusive.
Yeah, that was towards the end of the relationship.
Now you're yelling and screaming.
Ben, we know there's a lot more here. Don't even, come on.
We'll get to you beating her with an axe handle later on, but I don't have enough time to get to that. So what's the question?
The question I have is that is when I've been with relationships now and since then, I can't get my, and I know this is going to sound, you guys are going to think I'm a crazy person, but I can't get...
Erect.
My baby's mother. No, not erect. I can't get my baby's mother, which is my ex-wife, out of my mind.
My baby's mother.
Just say you can't get your ex out of your mind.
Yeah, but he's got all
correct.
This...
I can't...
All that idealization.
The reason I'm calling you guys is because I'm really frustrated.
Okay. Right, no, you're still in love with her, is what you think.
Ben, there is so much more here than this. So much more. Just take the fact that your mother was a heroin addict, you had to grow up with that, and wondering every day whether you're going to come home to a dead mother or not. And when you did come, you came home to an abandoning, intoxicated mother. That is a massive trauma and a massive injury. And, of course, when you get in a relationship with someone who is intimate, it becomes abusive and chaotic, and you can't maintain it, and you destroy it. And then once you destroy it, you go back and idealize it and have to have it back. If you go back to her, it'll be exactly the same thing all over again.
Okay, let me just say this. Ben, you're a mess, okay? I'm sorry about your mom and what happened, but you're a mess, and you got to get yourself a little therapy.
This is not about the ex.
No. Get that. Don't worry about the rest. And do it on behalf of your...
The child.
Baby's mother's daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your baby's mother's daughter.
Yeah. The same kid, right?
Right.
Yes. Yes. Do not be the kind of parent that your parents were to you. That should be all our goals, except for Drew's kids. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. You can check out the website at bobcrane.com, and we'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. Scotty's the son of Bob Crane, and Bob is the slain sitcom star from Hogan, from Hogan's Heroes. Nick at Night, I think our young
TV
viewers
Land.
Have that.
TV Land.
Know all that stuff. His website is bobcrane.com.
Thank you.
And
I don't know why Anderson hasn't played the theme song in Hogan's Heroes.
It's amazing.
You can't find it.
Well, when my brother was on, you could have played like the Who Are You? Because he kept on wondering who I was. So.
I don't have it. All right.
I got something close.
No.
What do you got?
Close is not good.
What's close?
Bum, bum.
Yeah, close.
Green Acres?
I mean, it's the same basic time interval.
Yeah.
Time frame.
Yeah, he wanted to move out to the country, and she wanted to stay in the city, and he wanted to get in a prisoner of war camp.
Yeah, he wanted to get into a prisoner of war camp.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know.
Bum, bum.
Yeah. Eb and the pig and Mr. Ziffel. Arnold, yeah. Brian?
Yes?
You're 30?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, me and my wife had this little debate going on.
It kind of sounds like Mr. Ziffel.
Mm-hmm.
She says that if you have an erection and you point it down towards the toilet like you got to take a leak, mm-hmm. It causes some kind of physical damage and it's bad for you, then I should stop doing it. And every time I do take a leak like that, she bitches at me for it.
Mm-hmm. And where, what
it's
would she...
It's almost like she's had a penis.
Yeah.
How would she know about that?
She says she read it in a magazine somewhere.
Well, no, it kind of kinks the urethra and causes some irritation, may cause urethritis, but it's not going to... No real harm.
Can you pee in the sink?
Probably, but I wouldn't want to try it around.
Might irritate your prostate. But you still have an erection at the time?
Yes.
It's hard to pee when that's...
Yeah. It is really hard to do.
You got to wait till it goes away.
Wait a few minutes?
Pardon?
Can't you wait a few minutes till the points in the natural direction?
I'm telling you, pee in the sink.
Well, she says if pee in the shower, then I shouldn't do that at all, but...
Oh, you shouldn't pee in the shower?
No, that I shouldn't point my penis down to take a leak.
Right, but was she all right with you peeing in the sink or the shower?
Actually, yeah, she says go in the shower, but I told her that she's out of her mind when she's like, oh, I can't pee in the toilet like that.
She actually sounds extra
concerned
and extra sort of appropriate.
Yeah. No, the toilet is a tall order when you're standing right at the foot of it and the penis is sticking straight out.
I've heard of women suggesting you to step on into the shower and let it go.
If you're sitting on the toilet too, and you're doing a number two, it's hard to and you're erect. It'd be hard to pee, so you would have to kink it down into the bowl. Mm-hmm.
Right. Although I'm not sure if I've had an erection and done a number two simultaneously. Is that possible, Drew?
Oh, yes, it can be done.
It can?
That's like a prostate thing. You're exercising your prostate at that point. There's probably guys who get off on that. There's a contingent of people who do that for...
Could be.
Oh, yes. Be. Yes, there are.
There's probably a magazine dedicated to it, too.
Could be.
Hey, Brian?
Yes?
You whiz in the sink. That's my move.
If you try in the sink, you erection, you end up on a mirror. What are you talking
about? No. But you stand in front of the sink and you tilt it down at a slight angle and you're able to get right in there.
I see.
Sometimes I don't even move my toothbrush. I'm not scared of my own urine.
No, there's no doubt about that.
I'm not scared of anything that's in me, really. It's in me. I'm not worried about it. I'm not grossed out by my own thing.
Yeah,
that's right. Brian?
The poo is out of you.
That's right.
Poo is outside.
I keep the poo out. Brian, you're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was calling, like, my last exes that I've had, they've all told me I'm, like, too perfect and everything, and, like, they end up breaking up with me.
Mm-hmm. I've had that same problem.
Adam is too perfect.
Mm-hmm. I intimidate the ladies.
I've had to tell them that a number of times.
Right. So what?
How many times has this happened?
All 18 times.
18 times?
Yeah.
18 times what? That you've...
18 girlfriends that I've had.
18 girlfriends. That seems a little steep.
I mean, have you had sex with all of them?
Just three.
Three of them.
Yeah. I'm guessing the other 15 didn't think of themselves as your girlfriend.
Are you sure they weren't just like dates? Brian?
Yeah?
All right.
Okay. Hey, Brian?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to dumb yourself down and make yourself not so pretty. How about dumping acid on your face? And doing massive amounts of hallucinogens or something.
Maybe you're going for women that don't like nice guys.
I don't know.
All right.
Either you're sort of not a great guy to be in relationships with for some reason, and they're giving you a line of BS.
Oh, listen.
Or like you're not available or something sort of emotionally cold about you. Or you're choosing people that don't like nice guys.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know. All right, look.
Whatever is it?
It doesn't matter. You're 20. You're having a tough time with the ladies. It's a tough spot. Guys go through that sort of 17 to 25 span. It's a devil's triangle in there. It's a horrible
they get lost.
Span of years.
8 years
Don't ago. Worry about it. Just do your best. Find someone who likes you for you. And yeah, we'll be back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. He is Bob Crane's son from Hogan's Heroes, who was brutally killed in Arizona. And he has a website, bobcrane.com, and is here basically because a week ago we had his half-brother on, who was plugging Autofocus, the new movie, and is here to basically answer for the airtime that we gave to him.
Well, no, I'm here because this movie is really, really inaccurate about my father's life. I don't really care about my half-brother. He can say whatever he wants, but this movie is really a horrible portrayal of my father, so that's why I'm here.
Well, I think the people have spoken by
the movie's not doing
seeing
well.
The movie. Mark Hoppus is going to be in here tomorrow night from Blink-182, so we haven't seen him in a little while. We'll talk to him tomorrow night. All right, let's talk to Shauna, who's 29. Shauna?
Hello.
What's up?
Okay, check it out. My boyfriend, at the present time right now, he has his ex-wife. Well, now, I'm going to say his wife, because he's still married to her, okay? But they're separated. He has his wife's name, like, right above his penis, right? So, I'm all about...
Tattooed.
Say again?
It's tattooed on his belly?
Yeah, tattooed, like, right above it, yeah.
And above the pubes, or where the pubes are?
Well, seeing as though, you know, like, he keeps well-groomed down there and everything, yeah, it's like right in between his belly button and his groin, you know what I mean?
Okay, no.
Belt line.
Listen to me. Is it above where the pubes are?
Yeah.
Okay. Just say yes.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why is that? People have such...
He's well-groomed. I know, but who cares? It's above
the
thing. Okay.
It's all about her name is, like, right there. So when I go down, when I go to go down on him, you know what I mean? And I like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an issue with me. Is that bad?
No.
It's like her name is, like, right there. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, like, I'm, like, doing the one-hand job, like, trying to cover her name and do it at the same time, but it's hard,
right,
you know?
Right. So, well, that's where my whacking bib comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a perfect time for that.
Right.
I kind of feel like I'm depriving him, you know, because, like, it's all, you know, if you're...
Depriving him of what?
What are you depriving him of?
Of a, you know, hunter.
Oh, because you're only doing a hand job.
Huh?
Well, no, wait a minute. You're putting your hand over it, but you're still giving him the hummer, right?
Her name. Putting my hand over her name, like, so I can't...
Right.
I know, but you're still giving him a BJ, yes?
No.
Well, yeah, hand and mouth same time. That's how you do it. I mean, you know, just like...
So what are you depriving him of?
Hold on a second. I don't know if this chick is, like, retarded or high. She's 29 years old. What are you depriving him of?
Oral sex.
I thought you said you're doing the oral sex.
With one hand.
Okay, check it out.
Oh, maybe not as often as he would like because of that.
Hold on a second. It's a bad sign in any facet of life at any time when a 29-year-old woman starts her sentence with, check it out. check it out. He's like, these 14-year-old skateboarding guys are supposed to start their sentence with check it out, not the 29-year-old women. But
okay,
let's check it out. Yes.
Can you listen to me for a minute?
I can.
My problem right now.
Yeah, you can, but you gotta be clear because we're not sure what your problem is. You feel bad for depriving him of oral sex, yet you seem to perform oral sex on him.
Okay. Then let's go deep. When I have, because lately I haven't. So do you think it's bad that I'm depriving him of it because of that?
Okay.
That's the issue.
No.
No, I don't. Hey, listen, the fact that you're even concerned about it is almost on the delightful scale.
Yeah, shows sanity.
Yeah, and however, I would imagine that seeing her name would be especially disturbing because they're still married. And at least if she were no longer in his life, it would be something that would be sort of a remnant and a pain in the neck. But this is just reminding you that you're married.
Why are they still married?
You better give us.
Haven't got a divorce.
No, Shauna.
Yes.
He's got his finger over the button. Give us a straight answer why they haven't gotten a divorce.
Straight up, this is it. The money to pay for getting a divorce.
All right.
But I'm
disjointed,
not
disjointed, but it made some sense.
It costs too much to get a divorce.
Are they living together?
No, I live with him.
You guys live together.
How long have they been separated?
I want to say like 2 years. And you want to know why they're separated?
Why?
Because she cheated on him.
Okay. He has a tattoo of another woman he used to date that's above her name that she couldn't
crossed
get
out.
Over.
But listen, oh. wouldn't he want?
Drew feels the necessity to crap up my jokes.
Wouldn't he be interested in getting her name off his belly as well? Isn't that
true? Yeah, and he is. He's even gone as far as like, okay, this is what I'm going to get. Do you like it? You know what I mean?
No. Going to change the tat into something else?
Well, yeah, kind of cover it up.
How about just getting a laser removal?
No, this guy doesn't have the $200 he needs to get divorced.
Yeah.
You think
he's got the resources?
How much is going
to
cost for the
laser
tattoo?
Removal?
How much is the tattoo going to cost him?
The tattoo is $75 to get, what's the name that's on there? What is the name?
Ashley.
It's going to cost $78 to get it changed to ashtray.
Yeah, that is so funny.
Okay.
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
She is high.
Ashtray.
Are you high? What is up with you?
No.
You don't have any children, do you?
I have an 8-year-old, and she loves me. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm the bump. I'm a good mom. Okay?
Oh, you're great, baby.
She's straight up,
You're the best. You're the best.
She loves me.
All right, what's this guy do for a living?
Well, he's a loan officer.
A loan officer at a bank.
And
mortgage. Mortgage loans.
Mortgage loans. So he makes an okay living.
Yeah, he sure does.
How much is he covered with tax?
Why doesn't he have enough money for the divorce?
Well, it's okay. It's like this. I don't really know if I want to go deep like that.
All right, we don't. I don't want to hear.
Problem.
I don't want to hear. What's up with you? You doing drugs?
No.
Huh?
Thank you very much. I've done drugs, though.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yes, I have.
Speed or heroin?
No, heroin.
Speed.
That is so disgusting.
Speed?
I mean,
speed?
Well, I've been known, some marijuana.
Yeah, but mostly the speed is what I'm hearing in your voice.
Why do you say that? Because I talk fast or something?
No,
or?
just think speed when I think of you.
Okay.
Did you do a fair amount of speed?
Not really.
When was the last time you did it?
Oh, well, what? Wait, let's go deep here.
When was the last time? Answer the question. When was the last time you did amphetamine?
I want to say last night. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, on the real, the whole drug issue isn't what I called you for. You know what I'm saying?
Shauna, like, when was...
I mean, it's recreational, yeah,
Shauna,
man.
Shauna, when was the last time you did amphetamine?
I can't really say. A year.
Okay. No.
Yeah, that's pretty recent. Actually,
were you here yesterday?
No, it took a long time for you to get to that. I'm going 3 months tops.
Three months?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll take that.
Okay.
No, it was more like 3 weeks.
All right.
She'll take three months.
Shauna, stop doing the speed, please. And it's reasonable.
And by the way,
it makes you
not a good mother.
And say again?
By definition, you can't be a good mother when you're on drugs.
Whoa! Let's get something straight here.
Okay.
First of all, I am a very good mother.
I know, but if you're intoxicated, it makes you an abandoning mother by definition.
Wait, let's go deep here.
All right. All right, Shauna, you get off the speed.
Oh, whoa.
Okay.
You guys are heavy on that.
Yeah. And
that's almost like mean.
Okay, and get him to change the tat. That's a.
I'm never calling you guys again.
That's
Wait,
a fine.
Let's go deep here.
That's a fine request.
God.
I'm agreeing with you that he should change his tat.
We're agreeing on that too, but we're looking at some other things that need to be handled. They're much much more important.
All right. A good time, so right, baby.
Oh, she hung up.
Oh, she hung up.
Well, by the way, everybody,
let's go deep here though first.
If someone says, I hear some speed in your voice. You've been doing speed? Oh, what do you mean?
How dare you?
None of your business. And then you go, when's the last time you did speed? And you go, that's not what I called about. But I mean, come on. Listen, we sense there's a problem here. Not just bringing it up. We talked to 20 people tonight. Haven't brought up speed to anybody, have we?
No.
She seems very disjointed. And the answer's sort of eerie with her kid, which is, my kid loves me. Kids often will love, she'll love you. That's not the point.
When kids are traumatized, they're actually drawn in more tightly because their attachment needs are stronger.
Yeah.
And they are drawn to the very people that are traumatizing them oftentimes.
She just sounded like a crappy mom. That's all I'm saying. So get the tat changed, get off the speed, and everything's fine. Jeff?
Yeah.
You're 33?
Yes.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to say hi to Scotty. I love this dad's show.
Thanks.
I have a question. My girlfriend is 22 years old. She, when she gets close to orgasm, she either cries and like stops completely, or she just says it stops feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of have to stop.
Right. Okay. She ever get traumatized?
Yeah, she had a pretty rough life younger, I think.
Okay. Well, maybe that's
what happened.
Her mom died when she was 7 years old. Her dad's a tweaker. Does a lot of crystal meth.
Right.
Just pretty much a loser.
Okay. Well, maybe she got molested or something.
She can't remember anything like that. I'm not sure. Just wondering what I can do. I mean, will it go away eventually at a time? Or, I mean, we've been together 3 years now.
How old is she?
She's 22.
She's a lot younger.
Yeah. And she does this every time she's about to orgasm?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, probably like 95% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm afraid, I mean, if she seems to be getting a little better, like, during sex, like, relaxing and whatnot. And then,
yeah. Did she ever had any therapy?
No.
I'd say if her mom died. How did her mom die when she was 7?
She in a car accident with her father.
Okay.
Her father.
Her mother lived through it, but her mom.
Right. Dad was probably drunk or high or something.
Right.
All right, and her dad was into speed or...
Still is. I mean,
still is. That's a disaster.
I've seen him maybe twice.
Okay, mom gone, tweaker dad, a little therapy. And as far as you and her sexually, you just be there if you love her.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a little project on your hands, though, Jeff. I mean, she's definitely got some energy, right?
They've been through the 3 years they made
before. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just mean, she's someone who comes from a place that was pretty chaotic, and she's young still. It's gonna be a tough row to hoe for you.
Oh, yeah.
As far as any kind of relationship with her, but you're hanging in. You love her.
Yeah, we've lived together for 3 years.
Okay. See if you can steer her toward a little therapy and you just...
I mean, what kind of a
going.
Therapist
just
do I
a, just
speak
a general,
to? I mean, most
general.
Of them are Mormon in the state and...
Is she Mormon?
No. I mean, we both grew up in it, but neither of us are.
Right.
But, I mean...
Tweaker dad was a Mormon.
You're talking like everybody, you know, everybody has that opinion of about everything has to do directly with the church.
I'm sure you can find people who are just... therapists that are not part of the church. You should call the University of Utah. I mean,
okay.
All right. And get her some help. And meanwhile, I don't know what you can't do anything with her sexually that's going to cure this.
No.
Other than not give her an orgasm.
And he can't be the therapist, so.
Right. Oh, boy. I don't know that guys, I know a lot of stuff comes out sexually for guys, and that's what they call in terms of their problems. It's like, I guarantee... this person has some issues and has some problems. He's interested in the sexual ones.
Right, he just wants to correct that.
I wonder if she can enjoy, like, masturbation by herself, though. You know what I mean? That's what I wonder. If a woman who's been through that, who cries at orgasm, can just enjoy self-manipulating.
Usually
not.
Usually can't even do that.
Usually not.
Can't even go there.
it's just there's so much energy. I'm guessing maybe she got molested or diddled or something by one of her dad's tweaker buddies or something. Buddies. And there's so much energy surrounding that part of your life that anytime it gets focused there, it always comes
It's already
out.
Hard enough for a late teen, early 20 to have an orgasm at all, a female. Right, most of them aren't even doing that.
Sam?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
No. I like, you know, I love the chick with the dude name. I like the Sams and the Stevies of the world.
Oh, thanks, but
yeah.
Okay, this sounds like a really stupid question, but it's actually the one that's really bothering me. I'm, like, more comfortable giving than receiving, like, oral and, like, anything, things with hands, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, some guys seem, like, kind of freaked out by it, or, like, some of my guy friends will be talking about a hookup and be like, I don't know why she didn't want, like, whatever. Like, does that freak guys out?
Wait. Look at this, dodging a bullet.
Wait a minute.
As you know, as I've been explaining on the show.
You are the expert.
I'm the expert at receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're the perfect match for Sam.
Yeah, Sam. I could just receive and receive and receive and never give back.
Well, that would be perfect if I was in jailbait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but we could move to some place where it was legal. There's Hawaiian Islands. There's different states in the union.
And then we've happily ever after with our... Yeah.
You just... And you would constantly... I would constantly be receiving from you. You'd be like one of those birds that just sits on top of the rhino. And just, you'd be there. You'd be a fixture. I'd put you on a mechanic's creeper, one of those things with wheels on it. You'd be on your knees. I would drape my bathrobe over you, and I would just cart you around. And eventually, people would accept us. Sure, there'd be talk in the town and prying eyes and judgment rendered. But eventually, I think when people got to know the real me.
Well, first of all, you'd enlist the Americans with Disabilities Act and
right.
get access to everything.
Right.
And,
right. We'd have our own parking at the library. Not that we'd ever
vehicle,
go there.
Special vehicle you could operate with your tongue.
I'd have to take a van and modify it so that you could perform oral on me while I drove. Yeah. It's all coming together. I get the front seat slid back about 4 feet.
Yeah.
I get the extender pedals put on
you
clutch.
You actually go to your knees at that point when you're driving. You would actually sit down.
That's right. You'd have to lie down then when I get on my knees. Right.
Yeah, you just kneel.
Yeah. Okay. We'll work it out. So I'll pick you up after the show, eh?
Sounds good.
So why can't you receive?
Well, I guess it's like I just feel more comfortable. Like...
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult thing to crack, I bet, at 17. But let me ask you this. What did you overhear some guys saying?
No, like, it was actually, like, him, a certain guy.
This guy you like?
Yeah. But
saying what?
He wasn't saying exactly that.
What was he saying?
Well, he was talking about a girl he had hooked up with.
Yes.
And how after, like, they hooked up or whatever, she didn't want it back from him, and, like, he felt like maybe that she wasn't good at even, like, making out if, like, she didn't want it.
No.
Guys are fine. Guys want to please, too, and some guys are givers as well as you are, but even so, they're a little more greedy than women, and so they're fine.
Okay, but Sam, so here's the deal. If you don't want to receive from a guy because of some trauma in the past,
no,
then you've got to look
this
into
is not
it.
That.
No,
this
I know.
Is not that.
Yeah. Would you shut up? I said if you don't because of these reasons, then that's something you need to look into. But if it's just because you're 17 and you're feeling a little insecure and uncomfortable, and a lot of women, especially young women, are a little uncomfortable with a guy being down in that area and being so intimate and everything, then that's fine. That's just something you grow out of. It's no big deal.
Okay, so a guy wouldn't, like, just end something because of it or anything, right?
I don't know, Sam. Quite the opposite.
You get another 3 months out of him. It will actually extend the relationship. But you need to slow down on the giving, too. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not like it's just I've only given it to, like, a couple guys.
Okay. All right. They're good times. All right.
What are you going to do?
That's fine. I know that we don't talk to too many of these women. We used to, where they're 16, they're 17, and they're just a little uncomfortable with a guy's face being in that place, you know?
And there is something we must add to your virtual lexicon. That's fine.
Good times, that's fine.
No, good times is it, but that's fine.
Women do feel a little insecure. Most of them want to take a shower. You know, like if you're with a woman and... you'll go, you know, you start getting a little frisky and you'll be heading down and they go, I just, you know, I had a long day. Well, let me hop in the shower. Guys don't do that, hop in the shower.
No. Guys should.
Guys should.
Much more fun going on.
Yeah, but women will definitely do that. I was jogging or I was shopping, I was at work. I don't feel so fresh.
Maybe
they've
been exposed to the nuts and they think that there's something similar going on with them.
Well, there's that whole rumor about the fish.
The women get exposed to what's going on in the man. I think, geez, I wouldn't want to expose anybody to that.
It's a social thing where everybody says the fish.
It's inside. That's nothing to do with the outside.
Right, but, that's such a social thing.
You got a face down there.
I'm saying.
I mean inside, not outside.
Well, you can't shower off the vagina, the inside of the vagina. It's the vulva you shower off.
You get the loofah up there pretty good. You do what I have my women. I dip that loofah and Prel and ram it up there.
And I'm saying that the women are routinely subjected to the scrotal funk.
Right.
And assume that, oh, my God, you know, I wouldn't want him having to expose anything like that. When, in fact,
no,
they don't create anything quite like that.
No, but that's not it. Yeah. I mean, it's not an unreasonable hypothesis, but women are just more sensitive and have less animal. Like, I'll tell you this.
Scrotal funk. I like
scrotal
that.
Funk.
A lot of guys.
That's my first band.
Quote me.
A lot of guys have no difficulty with pulling the cork on a woman who's having her period, right? No problem, right? Every guy I know has done this. Like, all right, get rid of him. Not for oral necessarily, although there are a handful of very hardcore guys who say, listen, who cares? Women would not do that with a guy.
No. Right.
If a guy, but blood was coming out of a guy's urethra, they wouldn't be like, hey, so what? It's cool, it's natural, let's do it.
Again, more evidence how not as driven women are.
Men are driven, and they're not so into hygiene, and they're
pull the cork.
They don't worry about themselves as much as women do. They're not forced to look in the mirror constantly. Chris,
hello,
Chris. You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, that's right. First off, Adam, man, you guys rock. I love you guys.
Great.
Scrotal funk. Hey, did you feel the earthquake today?
Oh yeah, I did.
Oh.
How do you guys know about that?
It's national news, and it says Anchorage up here on our.
Yeah, it was tight. My house was rolling and stuff. It was tight.
Great.
I've been thinking about trying ecstasy, and I want to know, how addictive is it?
Not that addictive. The real problem with ecstasy is not so much its addictive potential, but that even when abused a little bit, could potentially cause some long-term consequences.
So after I do it just one time, then...
I cannot say that. I'd like to be able to say that, but I can't.
Well, here's the thing about X is, I mean, I guess it's addictive in the sense that people like it a lot,
yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really make you vomit or freak you out. I mean, it can, but here's what I'm saying. There's certain drugs that'll just never catch on, like peyote or something, because it's too big a chore for people. Right. And with X, people think they're getting away scot-free. They think, oh, I got a nice high, I had a good time, and it's the next day and I'm fine. I didn't put on any weight.
I'm tired.
I didn't vomit.
I'm tired, my back hurts, I have a headache. And that's a sign of the central nervous system injury.
It works you a little bit, but it also, it's the fact that you've been dancing for 7 hours straight.
You're dehydrated.
You went to bed at 5:30 in the morning and you basically kicked your ass.
All right. But
you will like it and you will want to do it again, and that's then the problem there, Chris.
So, like, long-term side effects?
Long-term is mood disturbances, difficulty having sexual arousal and just sexual experiences. But the big thing that I see over and over and over and over again in my experience with patients is panic attacks, anxiety, and depression, which is very, very severe oftentimes.
All right.
It seems like there's a lot of depression with heavy X users.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's very difficult to treat, too.
Yes.
It's an injury. I mean, we actually know where the injury is, and the cells are gone in that part.
It's like the adrenal gland, right? It gets depleted, and it doesn't come back.
It's actually the cells, the cells seem to be dying. They're certainly lessening in interconnection. There's less health in those cells.
Well, as Drew says, there's no free lunches.
No. Mother Nature.
In nature. I mean, if you think you're going to take a little pill and get your rocks off and have the time of your life and do it night after night after night over the course of years, eventually you got to pay the fiddler.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. Anything that feels good is addictive.
But even stuff, I mean, it's like, look at anything. I mean, just look at, like, steroids, all right? You want big muscles. You want to kick your opponent's ass. You want this. You want that. Fine. Your penis ain't going to work. You'll die of cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, that life just basically works that way in general.
That's a hard trade. That's a hard trade.
Yeah. Yep. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. You can find his website at bobcrane.com, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Scotty Crane is our guest tonight. You can find his website at bobcrane.com. And do not see the movie Autofocus.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Actually, no one is in the whole country. First 2 weeks of business, it's done less than like $500,000. But, you know, I want to say really quick, my brother-in-law's birthday is tonight, and I should be in Seattle celebrating. But I came down to be on Loveline, of course. I feel bad about it, though.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Ben.
And I worry about the people who might go see Autofocus just to see what other people aren't watching. That's what I worry about.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like even Greg Kinnear says, don't go to see Autofocus if you're looking for gratuitous sex. It's not here. If you want a sexy movie, it's not here. And, you know, if you want a true movie, it's not here either. So it's like the market for this movie is pretty limited.
Garrett, you're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just curious. You're always talking on the air like you're the master of receiving BJs and stuff, right?
Right, right. My claim, I have the ultimate form.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I was wondering, do you keep track, like, how many have you actually had in your lifetime?
No, I don't. That's something you do when you're 14 or 15, and then actually it was easy for me to keep track at 14 or 15. Let's see, zero, and let me check again, zero. Eventually,
but you're working your technique, that.
Eventually, I got a whole bunch of zeros thrown together, so when I got my first one, I put the one at there, and I was like, 10 million. It was my first. I had 17 zeros strung together, so the one, yeah. Now, you guys must have remembered keeping track of that kind of stuff.
Well, there's like Wilt Chamberlain, who says he was with like 24,000 women or something, and then Gene Simmons says he was with like 6,407.
Yeah,
I
don't trust the guy who keeps track. But no, it is not that I've received more oral than other men of my age. On the contrary, I've probably gotten less over the years. But it still doesn't mean my form isn't spectacular. And I don't, the claim isn't that I've gotten the most, it's that I'm the best student of it.
You're in constant training for receiving.
That's right.
All right.
You're like an athlete.
Right. You understand that concept, Garrett?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just want to say you kick serious ass.
Yeah.
Everybody at my school listens to Loveline.
Great.
Every night.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Good talking to you, Garrett.
All right, man. Good
you take
time.
Care of yourself.
You too. See you later.
And who knows? I may relinquish my crown. You know what I mean, one day?
Yeah.
I may pass a torch over to you.
You mean Garrett has a potential of being the
Get
next?
Get yourself a lazy boy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of kids coming up. They're hungry. You know, up-and-comers, good-looking kids, you know, nipping at my heels.
Sure. You want to give a little inspiration? Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I'm not saying I'm going to hold the crown forever. Damien?
Yeah.
When I retire, there's going to be a farewell tour, though. It's like crisscross the country. You know, like when Kareem retired from basketball.
I was thinking more about the way Evita did the tour across the rest.
Yeah.
Carola.
Damien?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? You're 28.
All right, here's my problem. Mm-hmm. My girl, her son is, he's getting to the age where, you know, he's starting to, I guess, explore himself.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants me to talk to him about it, but I don't know how to go about it.
How old is that age?
He's 13.
13.
Uh-huh.
And what is it she's anxious to have you talk about?
It's like she thinks that he's spanking the monkey because he's always locking himself in a room, always in the bathroom for an excessively long time.
Yeah, you can count on it. So
right.
So what?
So she wants me to know, like,
what are you going to say? What are you going to say to him?
That's what I want to know. What am I supposed to say to him?
That's a woman's idea. You're supposed to, what, talk him out of it and forget it?
Do you want him not?
Talk him down.
Does she want him not to do it?
It's not that she doesn't want him to do it. It's like she knows that soon enough he's going to start having sex and things like that, and she wants me to.
All right, we'll talk about those things. That's fine.
Right.
Then maybe go see, is there a movie or
Autofocus.
Something?
Autofocus.
Or a movie where some of this material is in it, give you an opportunity to talk to him about it. Hey, what'd you think of that?
Porn.
You ever talk about this?
Double
you
know, penetration.
Anybody ever teach you about condoms? Just, you know, something to to springboard into discussion. It's hard to bring it up cold out of the blue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, does he look at you as a father figure?
Somewhat, yeah.
How long have you been around?
I've been around over 2 years.
Okay. And he likes you, have a good relationship with him?
Yeah, we do.
I think if you're kind of weird about it, that'll make him weird, too. On the other hand, I don't know if you need that stepping stone to approach the subject with him.
You mean a movie or something?
I think you just sit down and talk to him. Here's the deal. Wait a minute. Don't talk to him about him beating off.
No. Why?
It'll freak him out.
That's just intrusive. That's embarrassing.
Don't even get into that at all.
Just get into the condoms and what are you thinking about, what are your friends doing, that kind of thing, and, you know, your thought about it. And, look, the way to talk to a young male is, does he like sports?
Somewhat. He's into basketball.
All right, so go out and throw a ball around with him and just kind of lease into it. Because guys get a little weird out with the eyeball-to-eyball stuff, but if you're throwing a ball back and forth and kind of...
I agree with Drew.
That's a perfect way to do it.
Yeah, get a ball, ask him if he wants to shoot some hoops, just start talking to him, and... tell him about, you know, just worried about disease and teen pregnancies. And just let him know you're there. If he's got any questions, he can ask you.
I wonder why the mother won't do it, though. You know,
Weird. It's weird when, thanks, Damon.
She got a good instinct on that one. You don't want mom. Did your mom give you sex tapes?
Yeah, I disagree.
Well,
your dad
showed you a bunch of sex tapes when you were five. I mean, he knew what was going on.
I think a woman's perspective telling a young male about the birds and the bees is actually a lot better than a male. You're going to raise a man who...
It would be good if it wasn't your mom.
You're going to raise a man who may be a little bit more sensitive to a woman's needs.
Definitely your mom needs to communicate what a woman's looking for, what they're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You know, you can't fool me kind of thing. But to get into, do you have any questions, using condoms, it can get a little tough for a guy to hear. It's all right. It's
from
fine.
A woman.
Fine for a woman to do it if they're comfortable with it.
Well, and your father passed on by then, so you didn't...
I was given a birds and the bee lecture by John and Patty Duke Aston, actually. So,
Really?
I had it on all sides. I had my dad giving me words. You know, that's kind of... I guess at this point, that's like a Donna Reed joke or something to your audience. But, the Munsters, was it the Addams Family father, gave me my birds and the bees talk.
Right, Addams Family. Yeah.
So I was getting it on all sides. Gomez gave it to me.
Jesus
Gomez
Christ.
And Patty
gave
me
the talk.
And how old were you?
I was about six when he gave me the birds and the bees talk.
Oh my God!
What do you need it for then? You know.
Well, I was showing his son my dad's books and stuff.
Oh,
and
I see.
And he was like, "Oh, you better come over here and let me tell you what good sex is, what bad sex is."
Oh, it's six. That is so high. That is so ridiculous.
It came from Hollywood.
This is the 70s.
These are the people setting the cultural trends for our country.
This is the 70s.
That's what I'm saying.
On.
What a hideous decade that was.
I know. Christina?
I don't know. It's a better decade than now.
Look at the architecture.
Look at the architecture. That's a good way to put it. Christina in the cars.
The car. That one word. Gremlin.
All right.
There we go.
Christina. Okay, music, movies, economy.
Christina?
They all sucked during the 70s.
No.
The economy sucked anyway.
There was some good music coming out of there. There's some good movies.
I don't know, man. America has gone so puritanical in the last 20 years. I think we were a better country in the 70s, I swear to God. We've regressed it back to the 1940s.
Turn on the TV. I was watching Fastlane on the Fox show the other night. It was like people getting it on, guys getting the crap beat out of them.
In certain ways, I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely more risque television than it's ever been. Christina?
Yes.
You're 32. What's up?
I'm wanting to know how common is female ejaculation.
Not very common.
Not very common?
But it's fine. It's a blessing.
Desirable.
Mm. Absolutely.
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. Yeah.
Well, is it actual ejaculation or is it urine?
Sometimes it can be urine. It depends on what you're doing. Sometimes it's orgasmic incontinence, in which case it would be urine. On the other hand, more commonly, it is just the glands in that area sort of producing a whole bunch of fluid that come out after the muscular contractions of orgasm.
Okay.
All right?
Comes out of the urinary tract, though, right?
No.
No?
Urinary tract is urine. There's skeins and Bartholin's and other glands that surround
it. But I thought it came out of the same exit point.
The vagina.
Yeah, I meant the urethra, though.
No, here we go. No, urethra is urine, period.
Oh, really?
It doesn't come out of there, no.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense because ours comes out of there. I mean, we got.
Well, I thought that's where theirs came out of.
No.
It makes sense.
3 feet.
Good job.
3 feet?
3 feet.
Like I said, I'm into it.
He gets his chest afterwards. Oh,
does he enjoy it?
Oh, he loves it.
Yeah, see, there he goes. And then there's nothing
wrong
with it.
We discovered it when I was pregnant.
Well, how does it? All right, hold on a second. Yeah. Drew's showing. Yeah, I'm done doing. I'm trying to explain Drew's.
It's coming
radio
out from the actual inside of the air.
I don't care anymore. If you hear Drew just talking about stuff, I'm not going to explain it or do anything. Just ignore it. He's pointing at pictures or talking to Ann about coffee.
Did you have to work to get this to happen, though? Is this something that you?
The first time that it happened, I was like 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of worried that it would stop after I had the baby. But
really?
I'm 5 years old now, and it's still going strong. Every single time, multiple times.
Oh, yeah. multiple times.
Is it like an orgasm for you? Does it feel good?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, it is the orgasm.
That's hot. I like that. That's hot.
No, wait a minute. The recurrent, we never heard this from someone who's multiply orgasmic.
Oh, really? Yeah, it can... Especially, like, if I haven't done it in a couple days or whatever, it'll
it builds up.
The first one is like, I mean, my husband says he needs scuba gear.
Oh, so he's down there, he's using his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I've told him he should write a book about how he does it.
He's going to get a detached retina.
He's tried it on other women, and so far no go. So that's why I was wondering how common.
She's in a subway, by the way.
Are you married?
Yes.
He's tried it on other women since you've been married?
Yes.
It's a nice open relationship. Wow. You married to Bob Crane, by the way?
He's given oral to other women?
Yeah.
All right.
So have I.
You have to. All right.
See, the 70s ain't so far away.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you're going to have a good time with that kid of yours.
My husband's right here,
then. Yeah, let me ask you this, though. Does it happen during intercourse as well?
No, just oral sex for me.
Okay. Just oral sex. Okay. And you guys swingers, or?
We have been, yeah.
Okay.
Not on a regular basis, but.
All right. Well, a little swinging?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know? All right. Limited swinging?
When the mood hits.
Sure. Sure.
Oh, boy.
She's got a super soaker nice between her legs. Yeah. All right, baby. And,
all right.
Yeah, you doing all right?
Absolutely.
You working? Everyone's paying their bills.
Own our own business.
Own your own business.
Yeah.
What do you guys do?
We do website design.
Uh-oh. Good times.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that there's some women who have that get really, really embarrassed of it.
Yes, a lot of women are ashamed of it.
Like they think it's
wrong
urinating
with them, or they don't talk about it, and they think.
And some
the
guys think it's gross
it
as well.
Some guys react to it.
Right.
And right.
It's natural.
That's fine.
It's good times, as you'd like to say.
Yeah, it's no problem.
What are you gonna do?
It's like a pinata.
Yeah, it's like, up at the Universal City Walk up there, they got those fountains that spurt the water out of the ground, and the kids have to run past it. See, man, once in a while you get nailed.
There you go.
That's fine.
God, I would think if your girlfriend had a visual way to show you that she's enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
That would just be great.
I think most guys.
Yeah.
Adam thinks he'd get tired of it.
I'd take a word for it.
He'd get tired of everything, Adam. Be fair.
He just wants to lay back and the
That's
easy
right.
boy.
Yeah.
Me getting blasted in the face every time I went down on her, so enough to discourage me. Hey, you know how, like, when you want your cat to get off the sofa, you train it with a squirt gun?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get me to stop performing oral. Use that vaginal squirt gun. I'll get off that sofa. Okay. Scotty Crane, our guest tonight. BobCrane.com. is where you can find his website. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Drew over there. Scotty Crane, our guest tonight. BobCrane.com is the website. And let's see if we can power through some calls here. Gina, you're 19. You can't orgasm since you got off speed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you depressed, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's speed. And speaking about speed, speed is the one drug that they know for sure, documented, injures brain. There's absolutely no controversy about that. And one of the things that happens when there's been this limbic injury is arousal doesn't work so well, depression sets in.
What should she do?
You got to see someone who's used to treating this, Gina. This is something that really requires some careful management.
Because it wasn't only that. I took, like, Ephedra for a whole year without having, like, the side effects.
I know. This is all bad. And you, seriously, there are treatments out there, but you need to see someone who knows. You know, stay on hold. I've got someone I can refer you to.
All right?
Hold on.
That's fine.
All right, babe. Maybe, but good times, right?
Huh?
Yeah, all right. Miguel?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yes, I am.
Girls tell... by the way, don't hang up on Gina, Brian. Girls tell you that you're an a-hole.
Yeah, basically.
True? All right. Well, you got to believe them.
Well, that's different. How about the guy that called in earlier that everyone was saying all girls told him he was perfect, too perfect?
Yeah. Better to be an a-hole than perfect.
You are an asshole.
So they say you're an asshole, let's have a relationship. They say you're an asshole, I don't ever want to see you again.
Well, basically, like, all right, like, I'll be on a date and, like, I'll just start being mean for no reason. Like, it's just something I don't even control. I don't even know that I'm doing it. It's just that, like, later when I call, it's like, you know, they'll answer the phone and they'll just, like, have attitude. And I'll be like, dude, what is wrong? You know, and I'll get pissed and I'll be like, dude, it's because you were being a total a-hole and this and that. And, like, it's not just them. Like, sometimes, like, my good friends even tell me that I'm being, like, really mean or that I'm being an a-hole to, like, people.
All right. Well, can you control that?
It's not, well, it just kind of comes out. Like,
right.
I don't
okay.
know.
Well, did your dad have anger management problems? We raise environment, a lot of screaming and yelling, or people beating on you or anything like that?
Where's my bourbon?
Well, like my dad lives in Mexico, and I only actually, like, knew him for, like, a year.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, who raised you?
My mom.
And did she have no stepdads, no boyfriends?
Well, I have a stepdad. He's only been around for, like, 3 years.
No, okay. So your mom just raised you. Did she do a lot of yelling or anything?
Actually, yeah, she has a problem yelling. Like, I didn't even notice until you said that. Yeah, because she doesn't sometimes realize that she's yelling. She says that she's being firm, but then I'll be like,
yeah,
you're yelling.
All right, listen, we kids that usually have a little anger problem usually got raised environment that was a little bit, a little hostile. That's what happened to you.
Well, it's not so much that, like, I'm angry. Like, it's not that I'm angry. It's just that I'll just be mean. I'll just act mean.
Yeah. All right, well, good enough.
There's many ways to
look at
this.
I don't care if you're actually in a good mood and you're being mean to people. But the point is that's what you're doing. And you have to control it. You get a little counseling, just a little anger management.
One
therapy.
Way to think of this is that it's something that you're sort of so used to that you don't notice it. It's part of your natural environment. It's what you expect in relationships. You have to start paying attention. You can change this, but you have to want to, and you have to pay attention.
And listen, everybody, please. I don't want to get too philosophical here, but that's the greatest gift you have as a human being is really the gift of potential change, and it is squandered in this society. Mm-hmm. Everyone is into it as far as their hair goes or as far as their bank account or income goes or their clothing goes. That we change far too often, or at least attempt to. But the interpersonal stuff, the relationships, the emotional side, you can transform yourself into a person that's not doing so well and not firing on all cylinders to a person that can have great relationships, get along, make money, enjoy themselves. There's really so much potential that way that everyone just chooses to ignore. They just act like, well, they've been thrown out of the cast, the resin has dried, and that's it. That's the shape they're in. That's what they'll be. And their whole job is to find now people who will accept them for how they are instead of change themselves. So Miguel's 19. He comes from this environment. His dad went back to Mexico. Fine. Make the change. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be slow. Got to do some work. Fine. That's what you do.
The world is your oyster.
That's
right. I mean,
because
that's all the world is.
Scott, 19.
Yeah, I sometimes get, like, I don't know if it's, like, female ejaculation or not, but, like, when I use my fingers to pleasure my girlfriend, like, so there's, like, a substance on my fingers, and she, like right before, like, I'll pull my fingers out, and her body, like, starts to convulse, and she really enjoys it, but I was just wondering, is that, like, discharge or what?
It's just lubrication.
It's just normal stuff.
Now you put your finger up your ass, it'll come out with something on it.
It'll come out moist as
Anytime
well.
You put your finger in somewhere, it comes out with something on it.
Well, that ain't going to be me, though.
No, it's not going to be you, buddy. Not the ass one.
And Adam, by the way, you're my personal Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, do you have a personal relationship with Adam?
Yeah, he does. Scotty does. He's calling, he's asking a question.
The Man Show, love it.
Thank you. Thank you, caller Scott. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
I now refer to people in my everyday life as caller, whatever their name is. I call my dad caller, dad. My gardener's caller, gardener. You know what? I know it's a little off-putting for them, but it just saves me time. I don't have to think about everyone's name and what context I know them from and whether we're on the air
everyone's
or not.
Everyone's a caller.
Everyone's just a caller. It's easy. That's how the mind works. And Drew knows that I call, whenever I get into an argument with someone, I yell out the Drew's name first. If I'm getting into an argument with my partner, I'll call him Drew instead of Jimmy. If I'm in an argument with one of my friends, I'll call him Drew.
Yeah.
When I get heated up,
some negative energy gets going,
Drew,
I get thrown in the mix.
Drew comes.
You guys
Drew
have a bit of a marriage out here. I see it. I feel it. Well, I do. I feel that you guys are a kind of a married couple in a way.
There's great love and affection.
But there's tension too.
There's tension. You know. I believe
George Costanza's. Costanza's parents.
Yeah. Drew's a passionate man.
Adam's barely got an engine going.
You have to apologize!
I am passionate about your passion, though.
That's true.
So I think
like
that's
that.
A point for me.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And you're passionate about becoming the world's greatest receiver of oral sex, and you've done that quite well.
But as I explained earlier, it's a journey, it's a work in progress, and I'm keeping my nose to the grindstone. That's right. Scotty Crane, our guest tonight. BobCrane.com is the name of the website. We'll be right back. Show everybody. Mark Hoppeson here from Blink 182 tomorrow night. I want to thank Scotty Crane for coming in here tonight.
Thank you very much.
BobCrane.com is the website. It was nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Wait, let's go deep here.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.